Dear kind and righteous Father, we are so thankful this evening that you have given us another opportunity to meet at this place and time to hear the gospel of your Son, Jesus Christ. We are thankful tonight, Lord, for the subject that has been assigned, and know, Lord, that this subject has the power to encourage us, to edify us, but to also prick our hearts in such a way where we will be able to discern and determine by your holy word on which path we are currently living. Pray, Lord, that someone listening tonight will hear Brother Wiggins' message and understand their dire predicament and have a desire to turn from the wide gate and to live their life in such a way where they obey the gospel, where they work and live in such a manner that brings honor and glory to you. Heavenly Father, we continue to pray for this gospel meeting, that you continue to give another opportunity to share the message of truth to a lost and dying world. Heavenly Father, we ask this prayer in your Son's Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Flunder. We are very thankful tonight to have each and every person on the call. We're near in the year of 2020. You all tonight, Wednesday night, last Wednesday night of 2020. We are so thankful to have each and every person who joined us all this year as we've done this, as we've hosted this nationwide gospel meeting. It's been a great success. And we are thankful very much for our visitors. You are the VIP, our audience. If you're not a member of the Church of Christ, we pray now you take your Bible, open it up, follow along with our speaker tonight as we talk about the things that pertain to the saving of your precious soul. Yeah, he's got a call today, young man, 41 years old. Didn't make the end of 2020, but you're still alive and listening. Hope you listen to Brother Austin Wiggins tonight, my friend, someone I've grown to know and love already. He's from St. Augustine, Texas, which is my rivalry when I was in Hillsboro, Texas. Hillsboro Hornets fought against the St. Augustine Wolves, and we often beat them. He'll talk to you more about that if you want to. But I'm going to tell you, he's a good preacher, though. We're on the same team now, fighting for the cause of Christ. We're defenders of the truth. Brother Austin Wiggins, preacher for the Biter Church of Christ, will come to us tonight in his own way, talking about God is settling the matter about the wide gate. Austin, you ready to go? Let's do it.
So thankful for that, Brother Tommy, those kind words. I'm so appreciative of the opportunity to be able to speak to you by way of telephone. And might I begin tonight by saying greetings from the Vider Church of Christ, from the elders and from the brethren here who love you, who love the church, and seek to be pleasing to God in every way possible. We hope that you have your Bible with you. We hope that you have your notebook and maybe a pencil or a pen, that you might not forget some of the observations that we are going to make this evening. For as we turn in our Bibles, I would like to direct your attention to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. The message tonight, I hope to be beneficial. I hope it to be edifying. I hope it to be informative. And I hope that you are listening with open ears and humble hearts, ready to believe that which we speak. And I hope that you take the words of Jesus Christ here tonight and our application of them, and I hope that you are moved by them. Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 13. Read along with me. And the Bible says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it." Now, maybe you are familiar with that passage, and maybe you already have it underlined in your Bible. And I wish for the next couple of moments just to simply give some of my thoughts, to make some application as it pertains to how it will be beneficial to all of us that are listening here, to the New Testament Christian, and also to those of you who are our friends and our loved ones that are outside of the body of Christ tonight. And as you look in your Bible and you observe Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 13, I want you to key in on a couple of words with me as we seek to make application. Jesus here is speaking, and he speaks of a gate that is wide and a way that is broad. But notice where he says it leads. He says that it leads to destruction. It leads to destruction. And so I want you to underline that word in your Bible. And I want you to note it, and I want you to think about it, for there are several ideas, there are several concepts found within the very word that Jesus used that bring up biblical concepts that you and I need to think about as we speak on Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 13. For when Jesus picked his words and he used the word destruction first to the New Testament Christian here tonight, to me, and hopefully to you all as well, when he speaks these words in verse number 13 and he uses the very terminology that he does, he's relating to the reader, he's relating to his listeners on that faithful day that heard him, that there is more to man than just this physical body. And I want you to understand that maybe that this is a principle that might be hidden a little bit from first glance, but I want you to appreciate it's there. We're speaking of spiritual things in a spiritual context here, and he's speaking about the soul. And I want you to understand that within every man that there is a spiritual component. It's referred to as the soul, and it will live on after this physical body expires. We exist as God's creations, as physical and spiritual beings. There's two parts. The only way that we could ever even know that this is the case is because God has revealed it to us on the pages of his Bible. That's the only way that we even know the soul exists. Look in 3 John, verse number 2, in which the Bible says these words. Consider them. Beloved, I pray that in all things you may prosper and be in health. Watch it. Even as your soul is prospering. You can prosper, you can be in good health, while your soul prospers as well. Notice another verse in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body, I'll say it again, your spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And notice there the spirit, that internal part of man, that thinks and reasons and it experiences a full range of emotion, that which is made in the image of God. The soul, that spiritual, eternal part of man that lives on in eternity, that everlasting aspect that we cannot see. And finally, our poor bodies, our physical existence that is destined to eventually end. And there is more to man that meets the eye. Oh, yes, we have something that separates us from the monkeys. We've got a soul. And when Jesus speaks about destruction, I think about the destruction of the soul and the fact that we have one. Secondly, I think about the very fact that Jesus is teaching that the soul, although internal in nature, has a destination after death. Notice that he says there is a way that leads to destruction there in verse number 13 of Matthew 7. The soul has a place that it's going to wind up. Christ wants people to know that the soul can spend eternity in one of two places. One path through the narrow gate leads to a blessed life everlasting, a home in heaven in the presence of the glory of God. Brother Scott Mitchell will be speaking about that tomorrow night. But this other path, which catches our attention tonight, is known for its wideness, and it brings souls to an existence of eternal punishment. And this might seem like a basic observation to some. Some might say, well, duh. It might be obvious, but it is one that we need to take note of, brethren, and we need to do it now, and we need to do it openly. Because more and more and more people are opting out of believing of eternal life. Those proudly proclaiming themselves to be atheists, oh, they use ever great titles, don't they? Atheist, agnostic. Sometimes it's doctor in front of their name. And as they boldly and proudly proclaim that they do not believe in the existence of God, and ergo, they don't believe in the existence of spiritual man. But it does not matter what they believe, and it does not change the reality of the situation, does it? In Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse number 7, Solomon himself said that after death, the spirit returns unto God who gave it. There will be a destination for the soul. Thirdly, I want you to consider that when our Lord uses the word destruction and a path that leads to it, this is an obvious reference to the existence of hell. And I want you to notice how all of these three points, the soul, the existence of the soul, the destiny of the soul, and the existence of hell, are all combined in the following verse. Notice these principles as we quote. Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 28. Jesus says, and do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both body and soul in hell. The subject of hell has become quite the hot topic these days, hasn't it? And I know it's a sobering thought. And I know that there are many preachers and teachers of the gospel that refuse the plain teachings of the Bible. And these brethren openly state that they won't preach on hell anymore. And oh, they think that they're smart, they think that they're wise, but they're playing a deadly game that has been played by every generation of man since the dawn of time. And I know it's a difficult subject, but there are people that do what man always do with difficult subjects. They don't like the message, so they water it down or downright ignore it. Others like to shroud their denial of the existence of hell under a veil of intelligence. They like to boast about how smart they are and the understanding that they have of things like the ancient Greek language. And they like to base their arguments on words like Gehenna. And they tout their knowledge as they attempt to demonstrate that our Lord was using figurative language. And they further press that hell itself is just some figurative symbol by the use of that word Gehenna. And so they wind up teaching that hell is really non-existent. Friends, do not believe these lies. These folks are cut from the same cloth as those false teachers that Jesus speaks of just a couple of verses down in verse number 15. Go read it for yourself and make the application. No, we believe Jesus was speaking literally when he described hell as a place of destruction. Just like when he spoke of a place called heaven, that spiritual place in another realm that is unseen by the human eye. Brethren, if you and I and even those that we mentioned before can believe and teach that heaven exists and that Jesus referred to it as a literal place, why can't we believe him when he speaks of hell and the destruction found therein? No, we believe that hell is real here tonight. And we know that it is a place that the book of Matthew in chapter 25 and verse number 1 relates that it is a place prepared by God. It's a supernatural place where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Mark chapter 9 and verse number 38. The fair and righteous God that we serve, he finds sin to be repulsive. He is repudiated by it, his very nature, and he will cast the wicked out from his presence into everlasting punishment. Notice Matthew 25:46. That's right. It's punishment and it's everlasting. Where suffering and separation from God will last through the ages. Brethren, let's you and I take note right now. Let's believe the plain language of the Bible as we read it. Notice also in your Bible that he speaks of the way there in verse number 13. The way. And a lot of times throughout the Bible, we read passages that describe a man's life as a walk or a journey. And maybe you're thinking about Romans chapter 6 and verse number 4, in which that takes place, in which the New Testament Christian is encouraged to walk in newness of life. That path or the avenue in which one lives their life is what referred to here, that broad way. All of the diversity on planet Earth and all that it entails, all the choices that mankind makes as a whole with all of its various lifestyles and all the various choices people make in their lives, our Lord boils down into one of two categories. And tonight we're honing in on one of these groups, those that walk in the broad way. And how does one, we might ask, follow this path or get on this road? How does one find themselves on the road that is leading you to destruction? Through that big old wide gate. Once again, brethren, you need to turn to the Bible. For a Bible question deserves a Bible answer. And I find myself turning to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, noticing verses 9 and 10. And the Bible reads, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. For neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God." You want to know how to get on the broad way? All you've got to do to get on that big old highway. And to go through that wide gate is simply be opposed to God. You want to be on that road and you want to end up in destruction? Why don't you just get caught up in anything and everything that stands in direct opposition to God's wishes and restrictions imposed by the gospel of Christ? On the road, on that broad way, anything goes. There's no spiritual limits. There's no discipline. The arrogance of man reigns supreme as men and women travel through life without giving a single thought about God. And don't you know that atheists are on the road? Liars travel down it all the time. The road is full of those that profess to be Christians. Oh, yes, they wear names like Christian. Maybe they're caught up in denominational groups. Maybe they believe that they study their Bible. And yet they're headed down shoulder to shoulder with those headed for destruction, right along with the homosexuals, right along with the drunkards, and right along with the extortioners. Oh, many claim to know God and to profess Christ and to be worshipers of Him, yet they ignore what God has told them to do. That road is wide, brethren, and it's got to be wide because it's got a lot of traffic going through. Notice there, he says in verse number 13, that there are many who go by it. And I want you to notice the verse following it, verse number 14 as well. And I want you to notice there the comparison. We've got the minority versus the majority. We've got the small, the few, versus the great, the many. And brethren, I want you to understand, members of the churches of Christ that are listening in over the phone tonight, God has never promised the church that we would be in the majority, did He? There's no passage that teaches that. As a matter of fact, we've always been depicted on the pages of the Bible as the faithful few in contrast with the many. And it's a sobering thought, isn't it? And I think about many times, Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. And I tell you what, folks, I reflect on my life, as we all do from time to time, and I think of the things that I've seen and I've experienced, especially this time of year when New Year's resolutions are around the corner. And in my short time on this earth, I've witnessed plenty of things, plenty of historical events. I remember the exact moment when I heard that the Twin Towers in New York City, remember 9/11? I remember exactly where I was. And I remember all kinds of dates and times, some that are personal to me, like my wedding day, maybe an anniversary, maybe the birth of my children. But I remember a lot of historical events that you do as well. And maybe we have some on the phone tonight that remember events that I do not. Maybe you can say the same. Maybe we've got those amongst us that remember Pearl Harbor. They remember World War II. They remember events like JFK's assassination. What about his brother Bobby being shot? Maybe you watched it in person, walking on the moon for the first time. But brethren, when we're talking about humanity, the human race, and the majority of the human race that Christ reveals will be found down this broad way that leads to destruction. And I think about the one date that all men are going to witness. And I think from a historical viewpoint, brethren, we can acknowledge tonight that it's going to be a sad day for the human race. Oh, yeah, it's going to be more sad than COVID-19. It's going to be more sad than the Holocaust because billions upon billions of people are going to stand before God, having spent a life in rebellion to Him, a life lived traveling down that broad way, and they're going to hear those words, "Depart from me, I never knew." Most people are going to be lost, brethren, that's a fact. And many that think that they are ready to meet their Maker will die, and they will stand before Him on the day of judgment, and they're going to be hit in the face with the reality of their unpreparedness. And as they hear those words and they're sent to their eternal destiny of destruction, they will have eternity to dwell on that fact. I think about that often. I think about each successive generation of those human beings that will stand before God. Maybe we'll be there to witness it. Maybe it's not far to imagine in the human mind is the scene that could play out on that day and the sadness that will be experienced. Brethren, don't fall prey to that image, that picture, that portrayal that many have and they love to tell about, that all are saved and all are going to heaven. Because our Lord, He speaks plainly, He speaks truthfully, and He paints a very different scene. There are those that are on that way to destruction. Some of them know that they're on the way, and they don't care. Some of them are traveling down that road, and they have no idea that they're headed towards that certain end. And you've got many that they think that they're fine. They think that they're well. Maybe their friends, their family members have encouraged them. Maybe their preacher has given them a handful of passages and a heartfelt story. And they think that their eternity is secure. And they left what God thinks and feels in the dust. And they're traveling down that broad way, and they're whistling as they go. And the reality is so, so sad. So, so sad. Brethren, some have characterized already, before I even got to preach this lesson, that the title really should be Hell and How to Get There. And I tell you what, it's sad, and it's one that we don't like talking about, and it's one that we don't want to make mention of, and we're very careful when we preach about it from the pulpit, but our Lord didn't hold back. And I'm glad that He loved us enough to tell us about what God's plan was for the righteous and for the wicked. And He didn't hold back any details when He spoke about that wide path that leads to eternal punishment. I think about that so often. And I think about the application and how many will revolt at the idea of some of the things that I'm saying here tonight. But I just encourage you to read the passages for yourselves and realize the reality that you're finding yourself in, that we all find ourselves in, that God holds man accountable and that He has a standard, His word, and that judgment day is a reality, and that it's coming, and that we shall be judged. All of these truths found in the word of God. And as my time comes to a close here tonight, I want to conclude this lesson, and I wish to for you to allow me the freedom to illustrate the gospel call tonight in a way that utilizes this verse, its idea, its concepts, as we think about that long, wide road that contains so many people, people that are destined for eternal separation from God. And I'm going to start it like this, brethren. And our friends that are listening, this is directed towards you, with all the love, with all the honesty, and yet with all the seriousness that I can muster. I ask you this question. What road are you on tonight? What road, what highway are you traveling down as you consider the path that you've led your entire life up until this very moment? What highway have you been traveling down? Maybe you stop and you've considered that you've been traveling down Highway 666 all your life. And maybe you've been going down it so fast you hadn't considered where it is that you're even going. Maybe you hit cruise control and you're cruising right along and nothing's happened, so you think that everything's all right. And oh, it's been a road fraught with peril, and it's been a road fraught with heartache. And maybe you're not alone. Maybe you brought your wife along with you. Maybe you brought your husband along with you. Maybe you've influenced them to travel down that road right alongside in the car. Maybe you got your kids in the back seat. Maybe you're traveling down that wide open highway and you think everything's okay. And I realize that some might have tunnel vision. I know that some might think that everything's been all right and that I can preach this lesson, but oh, the application doesn't fall in my lap. And I realize that there are people driving along that highway. They think everything's okay, and they think that just because their headlights only light up their lane that they're traveling in, that they're on that straight and narrow way. Oh, let God's words resonate with you tonight. Wake up. Wake up and notice. I want you to notice and look around and realize that that single lane isn't that narrow way. You're on a six-lane highway, that broad highway headed for destruction. And I know you've ignored those signs in the ditch. I know you've ignored the signs that told you what road that you're on. And I know that you've passed them by and you've never given them a thought. And I want to submit to you tonight that God has time and time and time and time again, through every method and every way that is consistent with His divine will, He has tried to give you a sign. And He has told you, and He has revealed to you, and He has given you, not through Google Maps, not through GPS, but through the map that's provided in the Word of God in the New Testament. And you've ignored that exit sign, but you've got one coming up. Exit, quarter of a mile. And I'm not asking you to simply change lanes here tonight. I'm not asking you to join the church of your choice. I'm not asking you to be a part of just any old, normal, everyday religion or church that you might be familiar with and all that that entails. I'm asking you to change direction in your life and get off that road that brings destruction. I want you to be a member of the one true church of the Bible, the one that Christ bought and the one that He paid for with His blood. It's unlike any other institution that's found here by men. And I want you to hit that blinker, and I want you to take that nearest exit off that wide path, that wide highway that leads to destruction. And I want you to put miles between you and a life that is spent splurging and engaging in wicked behavior. And I want you to come to faith in Jesus Christ. I want you to believe that He is Lord. I want you to realize who Jesus Christ is and what He has done. That His life is fact, that His words are truth, and that He has revealed the only way, the only path, the only road that brings about everlasting life in the presence of the Father in that realm of heaven. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Those are the words of Jesus Christ, and I want you to believe them here tonight. And to know that the blood that He shed on that cruel cross of Calvary was shed for you, that you might have remission of sins. I want you to repent from a life that's been saturated in the practice of sin. I want you to make that choice to turn that wheel and turn your life around. And I want you to know and to understand the importance of confession. And as you exit off that road, that His name is on your lips as you proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord and you proclaim your allegiance to Him. That's what I want you to do. And that final culminating act of gospel obedience, baptism, for the remission of sins, so that your sins can be washed away, Acts chapter 22 and verse number 16. And then, as you're raised up out of those baptismal waters, you shall be added to the church. Hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized for the remission of your sins. That's the formula. That's the roadmap for getting off that way, that wide way that leads to destruction. And if you're a New Testament Christian here tonight, and you were once on that straight and narrow way, maybe you were on that county road, we might say, in the great state of Texas. They get bumpy, they get windy, and they're hard to travel down, and maybe you got tired of it. Maybe you got tired of having the dust on the car after you just waxed it. Maybe you got tired thinking it was the long way around. Maybe you got tired of all the hardship that it brought you. And you thought to yourself, oh, if I can just get on that road, I just get on that highway. And maybe you've been weaving through traffic on that big old wide path. You need to exit as well. You need to come back to the church. You need to admit the wrongdoings of the past, put them behind you, and going forward, devote yourself totally to service to God. Brethren, passages like these are in the Bible for us to learn, for us to know about. And know our Lord isn't trying to hurt anybody's feelings. And know the message tonight, it might have been forceful. We might have used some pretty pointed terminology. But I want you to know that we love you. And from the Vider Church of Christ, we want you to know that the gospel that we read is the same gospel that our Lord revealed. And it's the only gospel that's going to save mankind and get you off that path that leads to destruction. We're so thankful for the opportunity to speak to you tonight. Should you need to respond, we hope that you get in touch with those individuals that are putting on this wonderful work, or maybe there are those that you know of that can assist you. Let your thoughts be known, and we can help you in any way possible that we can. So thankful for your presence, so thankful for your attention. This is Brother Wiggins signing off.
Man, Brother Wiggins, I really love you, man. You're a good preacher. I really appreciate your simplicity and certainly your concern for the lost souls, as I have. It's men like you, come on, I call, that I so much appreciate. It's not about trying to save the feelings of people. They're trying to save their souls. Yeah, many people on that Highway 666. It's wide. It's a traffic jam. Many people on it. And we pray tonight our visitors will take that exit to Highway 777. Only a few. Not a traffic jam. Only a few will be on that straight and narrow path. And that is according to the truth. If you're on the call tonight, we ask Brother Wiggins to preach this sermon tonight about the wide gate, because it's important for all of us to know there's an option as it pertains to saving our souls. We can go to heaven or we can go to hell according to the scriptures. We don't want to go that way, the way of destruction. We want to make heaven our home. But it was Jesus who said a few would find tomorrow night. And Scott Mitchell will talk about the few. So we thank you for being on the call. Now, if you're on the call tonight and you want to be saved, you say, Brother Brooks, I've been on this Broadway, and I'm really trying to get my life together right now, and I really want to do it God's way. Then you gotta take the exit. You gotta get down there with the few that's gonna do it just like God said. The way you do that, get back with your friend or family member who put you in the call, and tell them you want to obey the gospel. You can be a member of that one true church. You want to be baptized for the remission of sins, and they will help you. If they can't, please email us at nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. Email me at nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. No matter where you are in our listening audience, I will find your congregation of Churches of Christ that will baptize you, and you become a member of the Church of Christ. The Lord then will add you to the church. The only church you read by the Bible, that is the Church of Christ. We appreciate you so very much for being on our call. Let us pray to God. Our Father in heaven, thank you for your blessings of life. Thank you for Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. For the death of the cross, for the blood he shed, and for the suffering he went through. Father, we thank you that we can be saved. But we understand that you are not slack concerning your promises. Some of you kind of slackness. But you're long-suffering, not willing that any of us should perish, but that we come to the truth. Lord, we ask you tonight for our visitors, you would give them the understanding to receive with meekness your word. Understand is able to save their souls. And we pray that they don't reject you, as Jesus, your son, said, he that rejected me received not my word, and one that judged him. Words thou spoken, the same will judge in the last day. And we pray that don't happen, Lord. We pray for those of us on the call who are members of the Church of Christ, that we too hold to that truth and never depart from it. We pray for those who may have left the simple truth and gone on a different path from what the straight and narrow teaches, that our brothers and sisters will come home as well, restore back to the simple truth, and live accordingly that they too may see, make heaven their home. For we know no such thing as once saved, always saved. So be with us as we continue our program. Thank you for Brother Austin Wiggins in Modern, Texas. We thank you for him, pray for his ministry, the blessed ministry, and the congregation there in a special way. We love you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Wednesday night, the last Wednesday of 2020 is over. Tomorrow night, on Thursday night, we had Brother Stephen Wiggins, but he's evil at this time. Brother Scott Mitchell going to pinch hit for us tomorrow night. We're going to talk about that straight gate. Then my co-host, my co-minister, Sister Minister here in Houston, my friend Brother Horace Stroud, closes out on January 1st, 2021, right? Yeah, January 1st, that's something, 2021. You're going to talk about life being a vapor. Boy, a lot of people, January 1st of last year, did not know that COVID was going to take them out. They gone. They can't come back. Why? Life is but a vapor. Don't miss tomorrow night. And then we're excited about January, February, January, the whole month of January. We're going to do a nationwide gospel meeting, and we'll bring elders and preachers on for the whole month. Oh, yeah, we have Brother Austin Wiggin and his one of his elders coming from Vida, Texas. There's a sound congregation there in Vida Monday night this week, first week, out of Anchorage, Alaska. Brother Jaylee Jackson, elder, talk about he's going to talk about the need for salvation. Tuesday night, his preacher, Brother Tony Cloud from Anchorage, Alaska, about someone is calling your name. We sounded the trumpet for the month of January on Wednesday night. Brother Nathan Friends of Citrus Heights, California, he sounded the trumpet about the gospel being here. On Thursday night, one of his elders, Brother Gregory, Charles Gregory, talk about he going to sound the trumpet about them that are lost. Closing out for that week, Brother Lavelle Hayes from Jackson, Tennessee, about Jesus the Christ. And his elder will come on Monday night the following week. So we got Elder Preacher Week, y'all. What a powerful thought. Elders can preach just as good as preachers. Well, the Bible said they have to be out to teach. So, of course, if they qualify, they should be able to teach. And we're going to show that. We're going to prove that. May God bless you all. Have a good night's rest. I'm excited. Just come on tomorrow night. Be with us again. Thank you, Brother Austin. We love you all. Have a good night.